All right, good afternoon. Tuesday, March 2nd, 3 p.m., afternoon lab. And we're talking about the plan, which is no plan. Today's a check-in day. And we have gone beyond what I am prepared to deal with in terms of lab. I'm still in the process of putting together the lab videos. And I think I at this point, late last night, I was getting videos together and just ran out of steam. So I didn't get them all finished. But today what I wanted to do was not waste your time, but just check in and see if there are any questions lab-wise, or if there's any questions lecture-wise, and use it sort of as just a little extra study time or check-in time, whatever it is you guys need. And then that's it. And then we'll pick it up on Thursday, and we'll have more to look at or do on Thursday. So yeah, that's it. That's my entire plan for this afternoon. So lab-wise or lecture-wise, how are things going? Do you need anything? Do you need I don't know. I guess I asked this morning how SI was going, and I didn't get a whole lot of information on how SI is going, other than I need to check in with the SI leader, the current SI leader, and make sure that SI is going forward and make sure she has enough study problems. She and I haven't had a whole lot of communication. So I don't know if people are utilizing SI right now, or if she doesn't have people coming. I don't know. I need to check in with her. And then whatever else you guys need. So I can just open it for questions. And there may not be any. And that's okay too. We had an intense lecture today, so there's a lot of content we went through.
I feel like I don't not have questions. I just don't know how to like word them, you know?
Just fumble with it. Just go for whatever you think you might need. I don't know. It's okay to not have a perfectly worded question.
Could you maybe go through like, I don't know if you can just like whip them up off the top of your head, but some examples of things that you might ask us on like the alcohols quiz or something like that?
Well, the alcohols quiz is already up. So that in the alcohol quiz, what I've got going on was looking at creating the same, did that not work? Look at creating the same alcohol and asking you to do it by multiple modalities, multiple reactions. So I think what I had was an alcohol that was like this. And I asked you to make that alcohol from different starting materials. Like, could you show me how to make it starting from that guy, or how to make it starting from that? Or how to make it from I had one more that was in there, but now I can't remember what it was. But it would be something that would look something like this. And showing me how you can make that same alcohol in multiple ways from different starting sources. And so it's identifying, you know, what groups are here, finding those groups, and then looking and seeing what's been added. And then in terms of what's been added, you're looking at breaking that piece off and going back through your retrosynthesis to what group needs to be added, and how would you go through and do that? So that's like one style. And then on the quiz, I also had a synthesis problem. So let me see where I've got that. Dropbox Chem 12, 21, spring quiz for PDF. Oh, I did. I reproduced that pretty accurately. Okay. So the other total synthesis one. As you go through and do that job. So starting from the allylic alcohol, how do you make this diol? And there's two ways that it can be done. One way requires four steps, one way requires five steps. And again, it goes through the exact same tools that we were doing of mapping and figuring out where this substructure is within this molecule and how you want to put it together. Like I said, there's a couple of different ways to go through and do it. But most of the questions like this are sort of total synthesis questions. Let me see. So these are the quiz questions. So I don't want to give away the answers to these, which I've already given you a lot of information on that first part in terms of how to tackle that. Let me look and see. What else I've got that I could tell you? Yeah, I think that within this exam, some of them are mechanistic questions. For instance, if you're going to break apart certain protecting groups, what is the mechanism? Which I've already shown you, but I would give you just a novel molecule and ask you to demonstrate that mechanism. Some of them are puzzle pieces. Some of them are schemes where you fill in the products for the schemes. The puzzle ones are a little unique. Let me show you a type of puzzle problem. And what I mean by puzzle problems, because you may not have seen these types of problems before. This is one style where I like to run competing reactions against each other. So there's one product. And here's the other product. And these two products all start from a common reagent. Going to the right, the reaction is sodium acetate and acetic acid, 60 degrees C. Going to the left, it's potassium terbutoxide, THF, minus 30 degrees C. So this is sort of one style of like what I call a puzzle type problem, where I'm either giving you these outside reactions and asking you for the inside thing, or both of these could react to form the inside thing. It's the same sort of puzzle problem. And I have a couple of different versions and styles of this that come about. And so this is one from first semester, but it serves to show kind of what we're doing. The first thing to do is to look at it and figure out what the reaction is that's going on. When we do sodium acetate, acetic acid 60 degrees, this is an anion and an acid. And over here, we're forming a double bond. This looks like this is an E1 reaction that is taking place just in the conditions that are being given there. And with potassium terbutoxide and THF at minus 30, this is a strong base. This looks like it's an E2 reaction. And it says that compound A is a bicyclic compound with a tosylate leaving group. So A has an OTS leaving group. And when these reactions take place, and it wants us to come up with the structure of A. And so these reactions are sometimes working backwards. And what we're thinking about is where the double bond formed. The way to attack these problems is to look at it and say, all right, this came from one of two possible things. I know it was a tosylate leaving group. So if it was a tosylate leaving group, then the leaving group had to be either here, let's just leave it as an OTS, or the OTS needed to be there. And on the other side, there was also a tosylate, but this thing was an E1. And this had to come from one of these two. So the question is, if I take this one and I run sodium acetate, acetic acid, OH, 60 degrees, what do I get? And this one, what do I get? And sort of figuring out what winds up happening in each one of these cases. Under these conditions, if we're looking at an E1 reaction, the E1 mechanism would be for this group to come off. If that group comes off, it leaves behind the carbocation. In leaving behind the carbocation, same thing's going to happen over here. It leaves behind the carbocation. And then I pull a proton in order to undergo the elimination. And if I pull the proton, what winds up being created? This is a secondary that's here, and there are two possible protons to pull. And so this guy could theoretically make this double bond. Or this double bond. And those are the two products that could be made for the bottom one. For the top one, we have to ask what could happen to this top one over here. And there's a couple of different things that can happen with this one. One of the things is that this is a secondary, and we know that we should be looking for hydride shifts and alkyl shifts to go to a more stable carbocation. And one of the ways that that could happen is for the alkyl group to shift. And if the alkyl group shifts, I get a change in my connectivity. And that opens up to a six-membered ring system. That six-membered ring system then has a carbocation that's here. And resonance from the oxygen, which is why it moves in that direction. So this is a 1-2 alkyl shift. And then that 1-2 alkyl shift, the proton that is here could be eliminated by the base, which dumps it in, which takes me to that product. So from the bottom one, the bottom possibility, there was no possibility to shift in either direction because I was at a secondary and it would have gone to a secondary here or a secondary there. There's no shift reason to go from secondary to secondary. So these are the only two possible products that come out of this. But if we look at this possibility generates a carbocation that could undergo the alkyl shift to produce the product that we're looking at. And so the structure of A, the only possible structure of A that can arise from both is that guy. And so that's what A could have been in terms of reacting to form both of these products. These are the types of puzzled problems that I give that are mechanistic puzzle type problems. I only throw one or two on an exam, and usually I throw them in the optional section where you can avoid them if these are not things that you enjoy doing. How would I do this in an alcohol type chapter? I could see doing a very similar sort of thing. I could see in an alcohol chapter taking and saying that on one hand, we can create something like this. And on the other hand, I could create so this one was with lithium aluminum hydride. And then 2 dilute acid. And this one was 1, 2 equivalents of CH3MgBr and 2 dilute acid. And so these are reactions that we did in the alcohol chapter that produce alcohols from a molecule A and asking what the structure of molecule A is. So we could say that molecule A is a a cyclic ester. I don't know if I would give you this much information, but we'll try this. Molecule is a cyclic ester. Which gives the two diols under the two different conditions. Give the structure of A. And so this one would ask you to work backwards from each one of these to figure out what A could have been. And so the keys to this one is understanding what a cyclic ester looks like, number one. So we have a cyclic ester. And then what does that cyclic ester do when reacted with lithium aluminum hydride? What does it do when reacted with two equivalents of Grignard? And then figuring out backwards, working backwards from these two structures, what that could have been here. So what does lithium aluminum hydride do when I reduce an ester? You're at a slight disadvantage because you didn't have me first semester in terms of working these types of problems or seeing these types of problems. And I don't know if Zaruba does these types. And like I said, I don't do them a ton, but these are fun sort of puzzle problems that get you thinking in this direction.
The ester part acts as a leaving group?
Yeah. And so what happens is under the lithium aluminum hydride, you're transferring H minus. The hydride opens this up. It opens up to become tetrahedral first. And then this closes back up and this gets kicked out, which goes then to the aldehyde. There's an O minus hanging out. And then a second H minus comes in and reduces this guy, which then opens up further. Now I have the two hydrogens on it, the O minus, and then those two O minuses get protonated in the last step where you're introducing the dilute acid. And so what you create is you create an alcohol, and one of the alcohols has two hydrogens on it, in terms of what the ester looked like. So what we need to do is we need to identify on the right-hand side where there's an alcohol that has two hydrogens on it. And I've conveniently numbered the carbons so you can tell me which carbon has two hydrogens on it. The two hydrogens have to be connected on the same carbon with the hydroxyl group, which means it needs to be a primary hydroxyl group. Wherever the primary hydroxyl group is, that is the hydroxyl group that was the carbonyl. So whatever this primary hydroxyl group is, that walks all the way back to that piece. And if we look at this guy, there it is. Number four, yeah. Okay, so that means that we could take this and reconstruct it. This oxygen here must be the one that's in the ring system. So there's my ring oxygen, and that oxygen had to have been connected to number four. So if we count it out, that's going to make a 1, 2, 3, 4, 5-membered ring system. And the 5-membered ring system, this will be the carbonyl, that'll be the oxygen in the ring, and that methyl will have to be attached at that carbon on number one. So A is looking like a 5-membered ring system I had written it out as 1, 2, 3, and 4. And on number one, there was a methyl. So that's what A is looking like. Now let's understand if that gives us the same thing here and how this reacts. So if I take that A molecule, and I react this with two equivalents of the Grignard, and then dilute acid, what does that do? It's the exact same mechanism. The only difference is that now I'm doing it with methyl groups or R groups instead of hydrogen. So the mechanism happens all the same. And then a second equivalent comes in and attacks it. And then when I protonate it with dilute acid, now I get the diol. And I get that guy. And so what I'm looking for here is I'm looking that the two methyl groups are attached to the same carbon with the oxygen. And when we come back up here and we look at it, we do indeed see the two methyl groups attached to the same carbon. And that it looks like that works out. And if we number it number wise, I think we'll find the exact same thing. So that's one type of problem, is a puzzle problem. A second type of problem would be a mechanistic problem, where I ask you to give me a mechanism. So I might give you a protecting group and ask you to show me the cleavage for that protecting group. So I may say, all right, Here's a protecting group that is related to the methoxymethyl ether protecting group. And maybe what I do is ask you to show me the cleavage of this, the mechanism. And I would tell you maybe what products it goes to and tell you that this is very similar to the mom protecting group and give the mechanism. And so this is a mechanistic problem where we talked about assisted leaving and the breaking of the acetals and how acetals are cleaved. And so this is a reaction which has acid in it. And we said that whenever a reaction mechanism is acid catalyzed, first step is protonation. And so we would take a look at this and we would start with a protonation and then go through the entire mechanism of how this is actually cleaved. Whether you started on one oxygen or the other, is not actually critical. But you would want to start all the way from the protonation and go through the entire process and, like I said, it would follow the mechanism that we did for these types of protecting group cleavages. We create a good leaving group. The lone pair then pushes in, pushes out the leaving group. We get the assisted leaving step. Once that group leaves, we then get attack from water. We then get a deprotonation. We go to the hemiacetal. We then get a protonation where we protonate the other oxygen, because we want to create a good leaving group on the other side. We get the assisted leaving step. So we've created the good leaving group. That group then leaves. Formaldehyde, we tend to draw with the two hydrogens on it rather than leaving them off. That's protonated. We've kicked out that last alcohol. So the only thing to do now is to deprotonate and you're done. So that's a mechanistic step or a mechanistic problem where I give you the thing and I want you to draw the mechanism for the molecule that I've given you, either putting it on or taking it off. And then the other ones, the other two types are synthesis.
Could you go back for just like half a second?
Oh yeah, I can leave it there for a bit.
Thanks.
So the other type are synthesis, where I give you a starting material and ask you to make something. Maybe we start Oh, I have all kinds of things I can do now that I have oxidations too. And I have reductions. So maybe what I want to do is start from this guy. And have you make something like that. Just to start off with. And so what you could do is you might be able to see a number of ways forward with this. And the sheet that I'm going to put up on Canvas and this afternoon that has a review of all these different types of reactions, what they would suggest, or what that sheet would suggest, would be breaking apart here, taking the three carbons and calling those the three carbons and breaking it apart in a way that is the anion here. And the cation there. So these would be your synthons. And possible viable routes may include the alkynyl anion or the Grignard reagent as three carbon alternatives for that. On the other side, the synthon, maybe that guy. An aldehyde. And so I can see routes to both of these. Let's call this route A. Let's call this route B. And I can show you A and then I can show you B. A, working backwards from A, that guy would have come from doing an elimination where I had the two bromides. That guy could have come from the double bond, which could have come from either the bromide or the tosylate, which could have come from the alcohol. And the Grignard would have come from the bromide, which would have come from the alkene, which the alkene would have come from the bromide or the tosylate. And I could do it that way. And so I have routes to both of those molecules through that alcohol. And so A might look like taking the alcohol and reacting it with PBr3 to produce the bromide. potassium tributoxide to eliminate HBr and peroxide. Oops, I'm not doing A. A. Just doing B. Br2. We just if I want to get to the alkyne, I can't put two bromides on the same carbon from there. I would have to do Br2. And then from there, I would do the sodium amide. That would give me the alkynyl anion. And then that guy, I would react with the aldehyde and dilute acid. And then I have to get rid of the triple bond. So the triple bond entirely needs to go away. So I would hydrogenate that. And then I would do a final oxidation. And because there's no other functional groups in this, Jones would be a fine oxidation. And that would oxidize it up. So that would be A. B would be easier. B would have less steps. So B would start out the same. Let's do the tosylate. Just to show a little variation. Could have been the bromide. Same thing, eliminate. Now HBr and peroxide. Now just the magnesium metal. That makes our Grignard. The aldehyde and dilute acid. This makes the alcohol. And then Jones to oxidize. And so the alcohol components will play a role in all this stuff. We did alcohols in terms of the leaving group. But then we bring in some double bond chemistry, making the alcohols through the Grignard, oxidation in order to make the ketones. These are all part of the alcohol chapters. And so you can see the two synthesis there, where A was 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 steps. B was 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 steps, one less step. These didn't require protecting or deprotecting, but further problems could also have protecting, deprotecting steps in them that would be required. So that's a synthesis type problem. And then the last type. So let's see, what have we covered? We covered puzzle type problems, mechanism problems, synthesis problems. The last type would be a scheme. And in a scheme type problem, what I do is take you from a starting material and then ask you for each step in between. Something like this. So we go back and we look at what lithium aluminum hydride does. This was what we were just working with in the puzzle problems. And we said that the lithium aluminum hydride adds two equivalents of the hydride and opens this thing up. So this is going to become a linear molecule. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and 6. So I'm going to get a molecule. Which is going to look like that. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and 6. And then I'm going to use TBDMSCL. Now, what does this reagent do? That's a protecting group, but what does it protect?
Primary alcohols?
Yeah. And so this is going to protect the primary alcohol, but not the secondary. Secondary alcohol will be left alone, and this guy becomes the protected alcohol. Jones reagent. Jones reagent is going to act on alcohols and it's going to oxidize them to their maximum extent. This is a secondary alcohol, so this will be oxidized up to its ketone. And then I have a Grignard reaction. The Grignard reaction reacts with aldehydes and ketones. So that's going to add the negative charge. It's going to attack that carbon and lift that double bond up to make a negative charge. TBAF, what does TBAF do?
Takes off the leaving, or takes off the protecting group.
Exactly. And then the PCC, will oxidize and it will take primary alcohols to aldehydes, tertiary alcohols it won't touch. And that would be our final structure. So that's a skiing type problem where I'm either providing reagents or I'm providing structures, or sometimes it's a mixture of both. Sometimes I mix it up within the scheme, and every once in a while I'll give you a check-in structure and ask you for a reagent so that you kind of know where you are, that resets you for the rest of the scheme. So particularly in longer schemes, oftentimes I'll give you a check-in structure in the middle somewhere. Either way, Kendra, you could unfold it or you could leave it just in that same orientation. Makes no difference. The only time I unfold things, Kendra, is when I'm challenging you to number things and to see it as an unfolded structure, or to take it back to its, you know, its sort of more shaped structure. So when you're giving the answer, you can provide the answer in whatever means you want. It's just sometimes I will draw things in a linear shape, not to confuse you, not to, but it makes the problem just slightly more challenging than if I left it in the same shape as I started. So that's the only reason that I would change shapes on things. But these are all the types of problems. And so you're seeing the full gambit of the types of problems that you can expect from these. And what you're not seeing here is you're not seeing single skill set problems, because most of the time we're not doing single skill sets in organic chemistry. And so I never just give you a reactant or a reagent and ask you for a product. It's always more involved than that. It's always using all these skill sets to kind of put things together. And I take that back. I guess in the beginning, in the first part of my exams, the skill sets are slightly simpler. And so those skill sets in the first part of the exam, I have what's called the mandatory section. All of those skill sets are sort of the foundation of what I want everybody to be able to do. And then the optional problems have you choosing three out of probably like 8 or 9 choices. And you get to choose the ones that you want to work on. And you can ditch out on the ones that you don't. So that's sort of the whole idea. It gives you, at least that gives you a better idea of the types of problems that things fall into. Okay. I know that's not a whole lot of practice problems, but that was not the intention with which I came here. I've got practice problems I'm going to put up hopefully this afternoon in Canvas. I just have to go write that page. And I've already got the problems and things to put up, so I just got to get those up for everybody. And you've got practice to start working on. Although, what I should really say is, don't ignore the book problems. The book is really well written. The book problems are really well structured. And I'm going through, my daughter's taking OChem right now at Washington State at UW. And her OChem class sucks. Oh, it sucks so bad. The instructor, the book that they're using, the problem sets are all over the place. And they have them doing problems that are second semester problems in the first semester with no reference. And they're just problems that are straight out of the book. And the book is jumping all over the place and asking them to predict what the products are going to be. And me as an instructor teaching this for 20 years, I'm looking at those problem sets and wondering, how in the world can they expect the students to even do these? They haven't covered these types of problems. How can they, there's no linearity to the problem types. And that's one of the things that I greatly, greatly appreciate about Klein's textbook, is that the problem sets in Klein's textbook build, and that oftentimes the problems in a book are written by other authors. The author of the book writes the book, and then the publisher goes out and says to 25 different instructors at community colleges, hey, how would you like to earn some extra money writing problems for a textbook? And they write all these problems, and those become the problem sets for the textbook. In Klein's case, Klein wrote all of the problem sets. He authored the entire book. And so the problem sets are all cohesive and geared towards what he wanted you to learn in the chapter and the skill sets that he was trying to teach. And I think that is highly valuable. I think that that is worth its money in gold in terms of having a textbook that is just well authored and well constructed, and his writing is approachable. And it's just, I cannot say enough good things about this textbook, especially having reviewed like 30 of them. This is a really good book. So don't ignore the book problems. Go and practice those. Okay. I don't know. That's all I got. Too funny. All right, think about if you have any other questions, and if not, I'm gonna release you into the world and let you have a good afternoon and let you go work on other things you gotta do. Office hours have been pretty quiet. So remember too, that I have office hours. They're all the office hours are up there on Canvas. Monday, it's at 9 o'clock in the morning. Tuesday, Thursdays, it's at 11 to 12. And on Wednesdays, it's at 5 to 6 in the afternoon. So I was trying to hit all different time zones in different places. So if you have additional questions or you want to chat about things, come find me in office hours. There's been lots of time that's plenty quiet to sit around and chat about things or work additional problems. Or if you're having problems with the book and you just want to run over some of the answers that you did in the book and you want to have me look at your thinking and your answers to those problems, I'm happy to do that too. All right, I think that's it. If I don't see any other questions, I'm gonna call it. I'm gonna let you guys go. I'm done imparting wisdom. Okay, take care, you guys. Bibi, let me stop the recording and then you can find your